Good morning. This is Ricky Harrison from Beulah Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us again this morning. Sorry I missed last week. Today is Mother's Day, and we want to say a special happy Mother's Day to all those that are listening, and especially to my mother, and thank you to her for what she's meant to me and for my wife and the mother that she is. And we just pray that they would have a good day. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to go back and pick up from last week's lesson that we missed, and we're also going to include this lesson this week for May the 10th. This lesson that last week that we have, and this will be a little bit shorter version right here, but the lesson from last week is mercy, talking about God's mercy. And the theme of this is it says that the gospel continues to be offered to all people, Jews and Gentiles. And it is taken, this lesson is taken from Romans chapter 11. And there's a couple of different thoughts here as Paul begins this part of the book of Romans. He asks some questions where he asks, has God cast away his people? And what he's talking about here are the Jews, the people of Israel. And the answer that he gives immediately is God forbid, or a very strong no. And Paul was a perfect example of a Jew whom God had not rejected. Then the second thought that Paul asked, have they stumbled or that they should fall? And again, Paul says, God forbid, in verse 11, there in that chapter 11. And he said that God intended that salvation to be offered to the Gentile by means of Israel's transgression, and in hopes there that it would make some of the Israelites jealous. Some of the Israelites had rejected God. Some hadn't. So the first part of this lesson begins with verse 17 and 18, I think are very, very important verses here. And let me just read those two. And we're not going to read them all, but let me read these two. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Paul is ended this last, the previous section that in with some thoughts here as it relates to holiness. He said that the first fruits and the roots are holy. And because of that, and he's using the analogy of this tree and the branches of the tree, he says the rest of the batch or the branches there would be holy as well. And the process that he's talking about here in these verses is grafting branches to a tree. And we know, we're familiar with this, and we know what this means to take a branch and from a different plant and insert it or join it to the trunk or root of another variety of plant, and it grows together. The two plants he's using here is the olive tree and the olive tree that grew in the wild. The olive tree was a very popular and was used even as a symbol for the Israelite people, and it even appeared on some of the Israel coins through the years. So this was a symbol. They knew of exactly what he was talking about here. But we see in verse 17, and he says that some of the branches have been broken off. And what he's referring to here are those that were unbelieving Jews who had rejected the gospel. And he said that some of the branches was just a reminder that not all the branches had been removed. It's not all of them. In place of the branches that had been removed, there were the branches of the wild olive tree, and that had been grafted in beside that. And this wild olive tree is a lot different tree. It doesn't bear the fruit that you would need from the other olive trees. And it says that the original branches, because they don't produce this quality fruit. And he's referring here to the Gentiles as being the wild olive branches, and he's talking about the ones from the olive tree that were grafted into or cultivated in with the olive tree representing Israel. So that's how he's referring to these two groups. And you can see from this last part of verse 17 there that the Gentiles were partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, which means that they were participants in all of God's blessings given to Israel. And Paul's point here that he's making was to discourage the Gentiles from boasting in verse 18 there, thinking that they were superior to the Jews because so many of them had salvation. And one of the reasons he says is because God had opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. And the fear that he had was that these Gentiles would begin to think it was something that they did, and it was because of them. But the reason we know that God included the Gentiles, just like he includes all of us, is it's an act of grace by God. And in verse 18 there, he says the root is referring not to the Jews or the Gentiles, but it's to the patriarchs, especially Abraham, who had received and passed on the promises of God. This lesson in chapter 11 here is primarily about the restoration of Israel. Paul was concerned that so many of them had not accepted Christ. They were God's chosen people, and many of them said no to salvation and to Jesus. They had put their trust in the law and had maintained that. Much like today, I think, unfortunately, not everyone is going to accept God's mercy and the gift of salvation. And as Paul is stressing for the Gentiles, he says, don't boast about this or don't be high-minded about salvation. They begin to think that they were a little better than the Jews. And you go on into verse 22 and some other verses, and he's saying to be thankful and to continue in goodness. If they had an arrogant, this unrepentant attitude, Paul says that they would be cut off. So he was concerned about that, and Paul was emphasizing equal treatment of both the Jew and the Gentile, because the Gentiles were grafted into the olive tree. The same could happen for the Jews, he says, because God has that power. As he says there in verse 23, God is able to graft them in again. The very last part of this lesson, verses 25 through 32, Paul's message is clear. He didn't want the Gentiles, believers, to be concerned, but to have a conceited or anything like that, to have a proper perspective of the mystery of God. We've talked about in class before the mystery of God. What's the mystery of God? That's God's plan for salvation. Paul reached into the Old Testament to reinforce this point a little bit about salvation being for all, because it says that the deliverer would be Jesus, and he would come out of Zion, and he would take away their sin. But Paul here states that Israel is both an enemy and a friend of God at times concerning the gospel. Israel had rejected the gospel, and this is what had opened the door for the Gentiles here. Paul says in verse 32 there, the very, very last verse in this particular lesson, that God had concluded them all in unbelief, the unbelieving Jews and the Gentiles, so that he might have mercy upon all of them. And that's, again, like I said, that's what this lesson is all about, that God is merciful to everyone about giving salvation. It is for all, it is to all, if they'll place their faith in Jesus Christ. And that kind of is what this lesson is referring to right here, that God is merciful. And what, you know, think about what that salvation means to us today. How are we aware of that salvation is for everyone, is for all people? Can we, what do we need to do in our lives to make sure that we help people know about the salvation, know about Jesus Christ, and know about the mercy of God, because we know that his mercy, it is there, and we need to make sure that everybody knows about it. So that ends the lesson for last week. And let's look at the lesson for this week. And the title of this lesson is Sacrifices. And this is the lesson for May the 10th. And it says that believers are to demonstrate Christ-like character, living as sacrifices in all that they do. That's the theme from this lesson. In chapter 12, Paul takes a look at ways God's mercy. We think about last week. We think about the last week's lesson. And we also, the grace, which is the theme of this book, how it's expressed in the life of the body of us every day. The way we as Christians, the way we are to act toward the gospel. The gospel is based on a theological truth and a theological foundation that Paul has outlined in chapters 1 through 11. And then in chapter 12, he turns more toward talking to the individual and to the church and how we as Christians are to act. It's God's desire is for all of us to present, as he says there in that first verse, and this is chapter 12, verse number 1. He says there that for us to present our whole being to God in the form of a sacrificial service and to allow the Holy Spirit to determine for us the will of God. Because he says, I beseech you, or I encourage you, or I request you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. And he says that this is your reasonable service. And this is the purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And Paul used this illustration of the physical body with knowing that the body has many different parts that working together, it functions together and we're able to do things. And he related this to the believers there where we're given various gifts which are to be used together. And when we do that as a body, it will cause a spiritual body to function properly. And these verses here, verse 1 and 2, are some of the most known and famous verses. Look at verse 2, and he says, to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you look there at those three words that he's using, and where he talks about to qualify our type or sacrifice that we'd offer, it says that we're to give a living sacrifice, we're to give a holy sacrifice, and what is acceptable unto God, and that's how he ends that verse 1 is with our reasonable service. What is this talking about? This could be a type of worship. And in verse 2 there, he says, don't be conformed to this world. And this is talking about the time in which we live in, the age that we're there. He said, rather than being influenced by the world, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind renewing the work of the Spirit. When we do that, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we're saved, it enables the Christian to understand more clearly what God would have us do in a particular situation and how to act accordingly. We know how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And as a born-again Christian, that's something that we have with us all the time. And because of the work of the Spirit in our lives, it can change the way we view the world and what we see as being valuable. As this lesson moves on into verses 9 and 10, Paul turns his attention to the topic of love, and we do know from Scripture how Jesus felt about love. And I want to read Mark 12, chapter 12, verses 30 and 31 here, and talking about love. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all the strength. This is the first commandment. And then verse 31 says, and the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And that's in Jesus' words there, that he is saying that, that's how we are to love each other. And if you look in our scripture in chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says to stay away or to reject anything that God says is evil, and to hold on to what's good. And that's just, I think that's just good advice for us, everyday advice that we can take with us each and every day. Verse 10, he says there to honor one another. And I think, again, that's things we can take with us, is to love and to honor, to show some affection to one another. If we did, our world might not be in the shape it's in today. Verse 11, he talks about being slothful, which means to being evil or lazy, or a lazy servant in our business or whatever our responsibility is. I think that's what the business means that we have. And he ends that verse by saying to be fervent in our spirit, serving the Lord. We're to be fervent in that and go at that strong, but let be set on fire by the Holy Spirit in all that we do in our service to God. Verse 12, as it goes on there, it says to rejoice in hope and patience in tribulations or times of trouble. You know, how can we be patient in tribulation? He says there in that verse, he gives you the answer to that question, and that's by being faithful in our prayer life. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulations, but rejoice when we have those good times. Be patient, prayed up when we have those difficult times. Verse 13 there, he talks about helping out others there. He's saying to meet the needs of others. And I think, boy, what a better verse there during this unusual, strange time that we're in today, that this is a good verse for us to help meet the needs of people and to show hospitality. And this, the reason that we can do this is because we've been changed as a Christian by what Jesus did on the cross. Our life as a Christian changes the way we look at the world. If you look at the world the way you did before you were a Christian, then you need to go back to that point and think about your salvation a little bit. So we should see the world in a different light. The last verses here, 14 through 18, Paul talks about how we're to treat others or outsiders there. And I think about what Matthew 5:44 says as to what? To love your enemies. He says to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So that's the way we're to treat those that are outsiders. And as believers, we're to be sensitive to the joys and to the sorrows of fellow believers. We need to treat everyone the same here, because the world is watching us. The outsiders, those outside of our church, they're watching what we do. Look at what 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And he says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And that's what he's saying here. He's asking us as a church and as believers to share a common mindset, to be of the same mind one toward another. Don't let pride creep in. A prideful attitude, it's going to hurt us, and not only us, but also the church as well. And be honest with men in those last verses he's talking about there. Live peacefully with all men. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and also treat people the right way. You don't want to be mistreated. We need to treat people in the right way. If we want to attract non-believers to the gospel, don't you think about this, then we must live the gospel. Can people see Christ in us? Have we, as we go back to the first lesson we talked about, have we conformed to the world, or have we been transformed to be more like Christ? We need to be transformed. We need to be changed. Has there been that complete change in your life? And I want to encourage and challenge us this morning to live out our faith practically each day. And if we'll do that, I think it will change. I think it will change our thoughts there each and every day, because it's so important in what we do. I want to close with that, and these have been some good lessons. Next week we'll have the same. We'll still be in Romans, and we'll be in Romans chapter number 13. And so I encourage you to study that. We'll be back next week. I want to have a word of prayer and just continue to pray for everybody and lift each other up. And I want to leave this thought with you right here today. I saw this 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's not original from me, so I don't know who the author is, but listen to these words right here. It says, "Today will never come again. Be a blessing. Be a friend. Encourage someone. Take time to care. Let your words heal and not wound." Think about those words. Today will never come again. Be a blessing. Be a friend. Encourage someone. Take time to care. Let your words heal and not wound. Let me close us in a word of prayer here this morning. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the writing of Paul. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to understand what we know about this scripture. Lord, I pray that we would be transformed by you, not conformed to the world. I pray, Lord, that we would be a witness for you. And I pray at Beulah Baptist Church would reach out to those that are lost and unchurched in our area, Lord. And I pray that your will be done. I pray for Brother Gary and Miss Dixie. I pray for them as they lead us. Just lift them up to you. Pray for the deacons. I pray for Luke and those that are working each week to put our services out there. Thank you for everything that everybody does in your work, in your kingdom, to lift it up. We pray for those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you would be with us as a country, Lord, as we continue to deal with this this virus. And Lord, I pray that it would go away. Lord, we want to meet together and be able to meet as usual. And I pray that we would have that opportunity to do that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for salvation, that we can have that assurance. Lord, thank you for your love for us and your mercy and your grace. It was asked all this in your name. Amen.